What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode, exciting episode of Apologia TV. That's Marcus Pittman, King Ginger.
I'm very excited.
Me too. I can tell very much so.
You're oozing with excitement.
Stoked.
Yeah, it's Luke the Bear over there, pastor at Apologia Church.
Though?
And I'm Jeff Durbin, the ninja, and we're back for another exciting episode of Apologia TV. I want to thank all of our All Access partners for being a partner with us because you make all of this possible. You can get more Apologia content at apologiaradio.com. That's APOLOGIA radio.com. You can go there, get all the past episodes of Apologia Radio, and you can get to be a part of our Apologia All Access, where you get the TV shows, the after shows, Apologia Academy, learn about apologetics and theology, and all kinds of additional content. So you go to apologiaradio.com to get that. Let's go. So
let's go.
It's a perfect year to have a show like this, because this is election year. This is a year where we're electing the next president of the United States. And which brings us into, I think, a good discussion we had on one of our recent radio programs where we talked about the fact that Christianity is inescapably political, because our message to the world is that there's another king, Jesus. By the way, in the book of Acts, that was one of the charges made against the Christians. They say that they're going against the decrees of Caesar, and they say there's another king, Jesus. Now, I think that they were wrong about the first one. That was a false charge. The Christians weren't trying to foment a revolution. They weren't trying to disrupt the political order and ultimately destroy government. They weren't anarchists.
Well, when have the Pharisees ever really cared about
exactly?
I mean, they don't care about the
but
charges.
That was a charge, right, against the Christians, but they say there's another king, one Jesus. And you see, when you come into the world and you say that Jesus is seated on his throne, that he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and that every king must bow the knee to Jesus, that is kind of political.
A little bit.
A little bit. I'd say Psalm chapter 2, where the Father says to the world, to the kings of the earth, obey the Son or you'll perish. I'd say that's getting in the territory around the rim of politics just a little bit. And we talked about the fact that politics, the whole realm of politics and political issues all deal in morality. So if you're talking about abortion, that's a moral issue. If you're talking about gay marriage, it's a moral issue. If you're talking about theft of property, that's a moral issue. If you're talking about the prison system, that's a moral issue. There's no really way to escape the fact that Christianity and its message is inescapably political. But that doesn't mean, however, that Christianity or Christians should be partisan. We're not into petty partisan politics. And so we shouldn't have outside of churches signs that say,
I think you missed a P.
Vote. Yeah, I did. What did I say last time?
I don't know.
It was much like better than that. P's. Yeah, that's right. Pandering.
Pandering.
Petty pandering. Political partisan pandering.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we shouldn't have like signs outside of Christian churches that say, vote for Joe, vote for Luke Pearson for city council. You shouldn't really have that sort of a thing. But the issues themselves are all ultimately aimed at gospel issues. And there are a means, I think, to get into gospel conversations. You say, how would that be possible? Because, listen, the whole abortion debate is an issue of murder.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's calling people to repentance and faith. It's calling a nation to repent and do what? Repent and what? Like, just stop? No, repent for the slaughter of 60 million babies in a nation and turn to God and submit to him. And so that's a gospel conversation. But let's do it, man. Let's talk about the...
All right.
Let's talk about what's
let's
up.
It.
Let's talk about... You know, we're not endorsing any candidates here. We're just talking about the stuff that's been happening. So let's do it. Let's talk about... let's talk crazy hair. Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Crazy hair.
Donald Trump.
That's good. That's good.
Isn't that in a movie? Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah, and so Donald Trump is oddly the very popular conservative candidate now, which is weird because it was like a couple years ago he was all for the Democratic Party. He was, you know, known liberal supporter of Hillary Clinton, big supporter of Hillary Clinton, said glowing things about Hillary Clinton.
Amazing.
And now he's such a popular
about that money.
Candidate. And there are Christians that support Donald Trump.
A lot.
A lot of Christians. But
including Jerry Falwell Jr.
A lot. So he actually just recently spoke
at he's against the Muslims.
Liberty University. Yes. And so let's look here. This is Donald Trump on Hannity. Hannity's talking to him about his views on gay marriage, pot, guns, and abortion. Here we go.
Welcome back to Hannity. We continue for the Arrow with 2016 GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. All right, short segment, quick answers.
Okay.
Let's go through some social issues. You are pro-life.
Yes.
Rape, incest, mother's life,
yes.
Exceptions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Is that in any way acceptable?
No.
So he's like 99% pro-life.
Okay, Marcus.
Murder. No. It's okay to murder the baby because the daddy's a jerk. Okay. That's rape, yeah. Right? Like somebody rapes someone, the daddy's a jerk. Daddy's a bad guy.
And what
Therefore, the baby should die.
Yeah. And what other criminal case in our justice system do we give capital punishment to the child for the sins or crimes of the father?
None.
Right. None. But oddly, now, the context in America is, well, that's acceptable. You can kill a baby because the father committed a crime.
Why not?
Yeah. And how many examples do we need to put before the world of people today who are alive today that are thankful that they were not killed because they were the product of a rape? And we can line those stories up back to back, and we can have a whole season of people who are alive today as a result of a rape that would say, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Mm-hmm. And so, no, we shouldn't support abortion in the case of rape, nor should we support abortion in the case of incest. We don't kill the child and give capital punishment to a child because of something that occurred wrong at conception. So no.
Right.
And when someone says life of the mother, we have to ask the question, how many cases does that consist of? Do you think where there's an issue like that? And people have to understand something, that the liberal side of the political debate uses the issues of rape, incest, and life of the mother because they are emotionally laden reasons and discussions that actually move people into the abortion industry and its propagation because of the emotional arguments behind it. But these account for less than 3% of abortions that take place in America. The rest are just abortion at will, just cause.
Right.
So you can have someone say, I support abortion for rape, incest, and life of the mother, and just cause. And cause. Number four is cause. Cause. And so we have to really look at a person like this, and we have to ask the question, is that someone that represents the biblical worldview? Is what's coming out of his mouth consistent with a biblical worldview? And I would say, ultimately, from a Christian perspective, looking into what he's saying at the issues themselves, absolutely not. Notwithstanding the awful hairdo, it's what comes out of his mouth that is much worse than what's on top of his head.
Marriage.
I am traditional. I am for traditional, and it's a changing format. But I am very much for traditional marriage.
Colorado.
What does that mean?
It's a changing format. I don't really know. We'll find out when we come back for Apologia TV after this. So I think it'd be appropriate to ask Luke, are you a prophet?
No.
With
puddles, maybe.
No. However, it would be, I think, a fantastic opportunity for us right now to talk about the fact that Puddles the dog seems to have insight that a lot of people don't have.
Yes.
Last year,
from the Lord.
Last year during the Bruce Jenner situation,
well played,
and Rachel Dolezal, Pastor Luke went to the streets of San Diego dressed like Puddles the dog, and he went around interviewing random people about if I think that I'm a dog, does that make me a dog?
Right.
If I dress like a dog, if I act like a dog, does it make me a dog? And I would say people were like, no. And then most people said, yeah. Like Puddles.
You gotta do you.
So we got to the point where we said, let's make it crazy.
Right.
Let's say something, because it's not working.
Right.
It's not working.
Just go as far as you can.
Get as far off as you can and do it. We were just thinking creative, and Luke is like, all right, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I think I'm a 6-year-old girl. Does that make me a 6-year-old girl? So, unbeknownst to us, this was actually going to be a thing.
Right.
So we'll go ahead and play the clip for you right here.
If I wanted to live as a 6-year-old girl, does that make me a 6-year-old girl?
No.
About if I wanted to be a 6-year-old girl and I had a sex change, but would that change that answer?
No, because that's weird.
So you would think I was crazy?
Maybe, yes.
Well, I've been 6 ever since.
The glasses over the glasses looks so amazing. And And thank the Lord for the gifts given to Carmen.
Yes, thank you, Carmen.
Put together such a spectacular video. Very good job.
He's the directing.
Homeschoolers right for the win, right there, baby. that was pretty awesome.
It was awesome.
And so sad.
Backstory.
And sad.
What's so that guy in the video actually left his family
yep.
to live as a six-year-old child.
If I'm right, he has five kids.
Oh, he has five kids.
I think that's right. He has about five kids, okay. and he's at least 50 years old, maybe 57.
Okay.
And he was taken in and adopted by a family that lets him live with them and live as a six-year-old girl.
Wow.
Okay. And this is what we face when you are a society that has abandoned God and his word, which is how the United States were founded with the colonies coming over. It's just an irrefutable truth. Christianity was the very foundation of the faith in Christ was the foundation of the colonies. You had states that had 9 out of 13, I think, in the colonies had state churches. You had some states early on the East Coast that actually you had to be a baptized Trinitarian Christian to run for political office. There's no question. You abandon God, you face now this world that is just a cuckoo land of mixed up genders and mindsets. And you have people today that are men with children that have decided to live like six-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm. And you made a joke.
We did it as a joke.
Like you did totally. It as a joke. Hey, what if I pretended to be six? That'd be really dumb.
Yeah.
Nobody would really do that.
Really dumb.
And then 6 months later,
you got guys actually trying to live as six-year-old girls.
Yeah. You can even see the girl's reaction when I asked her. She was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Nobody would ever do that.
Our nation needs national repentance.
Absolutely.
And repentance begins in the church.
Amen.
So the nation will repent when the church has repented and reformed and calls out faithfully to the world. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Okay, so back to Donald Trump and his views. We're going to address some of the biblical worldview. So he said, as we came into the segment, he said, I'm for traditional marriage. He said, it's a changing platform. So
it's guarding himself so he can change it later.
Yeah, I take that to mean I need to make sure that I protect myself because when I get the job, I'm just going to come out and say,
It changed.
I told you. I told you the platform was changing.
The platform moved.
I said it was changing. So that's, by the way, not comforting to me.
Nah.
I want to see a person lead a nation who stands on the word of God as the rock, believes God's word, upholds God's word, and that's what I think
has Christians, conviction.
Has conviction and consistency. Now we're all
that's not Trump.
Yeah. We're all sinners. We're all falling short of the glory of God on a daily basis. But if you're looking at a person to lead the country, we need to think about the issues first and foremost as Christians.
Auto marijuana.
Well, I don't like what's coming out. I mean, if you look, I'm all for medical marijuana and help. But what's coming out is some really bad things are happening in Colorado with respect to people. So I would have to look at that very, very
states'
seriously.
Rights versus the federal government intrusion?
Well, I think so. But by the way,
I think so.
Wow.
That's so important for a president to not have an answer of I think so.
Yeah. I think so.
You kind of need to know.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's an important one.
States' rights, federal rights. Nah, well, you know, I'll figure it out once I get
one of these days.
Important issues. Very important. But the issue of marijuana, interesting. Yeah. I think it would shock people to hear us as Christians being in support of the federal government staying out of the issue of drugs, alcohol, whatever, because the Bible doesn't give the government that role because the government, the state, is no savior.
Right.
The state's not a savior. The state can't change hearts. The state can't change minds. The state's job is to basically distribute justice, enforce contracts, and to organize for national defense, according to the Bible. But the state's job isn't to be a savior and to change people's hearts and minds. That problem isn't solved with prison and those sorts of things. But on the topic of marijuana, I thought I'd play something interesting for you guys.
Okay.
Are you ready? This
All
is
right.
kind of
go.
Fun. One of the consequences of abusing drugs right before our eyes.
It's a 911 call just released from law enforcement and obtained by EastIdahoNews.com that will have you shaking your head. There's two guys traveling from Las Vegas up to Montana with over 20 pounds of marijuana in their car. And according to court documents, the two men were using some of that marijuana. Well, once they reached the Idaho border, they said they felt like they were being followed by cops. And they got up to Rexburg, they pulled off the freeway, they called 911, and, well, you just have to listen to the call.
Madison County 911.
Hi, we're the two dumbass that got caught trying to bring some stuff through your border, and all your cops are just driving around us like a bunch of jack wagons. I just really would like you guys to end it. If you could help me out with that, we'd just like to get on with it.
You got caught doing what?
Okay. We kind of got pooched here, trying to bring some stuff across your Idaho border.
Okay.
And, yeah, a bunch of your cops driving around a bunch of civilian cars, just not want to pick us up. I don't know what's the deal. I was just wondering if you could help us out and just end it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe call one of them. I don't know. It's getting cold out here, man. I just want to get warm and just get on with this whole thing, so.
Okay. Where are you at right now?
University Boulevard, right next to the gas station in Applebee's. All your buddies are around us, so if you can help us out, it'd be great.
Okay. All right. And is it just you, or is there anybody else with you?
Wait. Let me get this straight. Okay.
Okay.
So they're in Colorado.
And I don't know where they're coming from.
Okay. Well, anyway, so they're going across state borders.
I think he said Nevada.
Okay. Maybe, Nevada. Yeah. Okay. They're going across state borders with 20 pounds of marijuana.
20 uh-huh. pounds of marijuana.
And then police catch them.
No.
Or following them.
No. That's what makes it so funny. They were smoking the marijuana.
Oh, they were paranoid.
They got one of the consequences of abusing drugs like marijuana is you can get paranoid. And so they were smoking their own stuff. And so they thought that they were being pursued by police officers ready in civilian vehicles.
Okay.
And so they ended up calling 911 saying, we're just going to hand ourselves into you guys. We just want to get this over with. You got your guys, you know, surrounding us right
your
now.
Buddies.
And nobody was following them.
Right.
And they basically turned themselves into the police, thinking they were actually being followed by the police.
Oh, wow.
And so there would be some consequences of marijuana.
Did I hear him call the cops jack wagons?
Is he said like a bunch of jack wagons following us. Okay. So, you know, these
That's
are
amazing.
Consequences. You abuse drugs and alcohol. you reap the whirlwind.
If you played some more tea, you hear him get off the phone. He goes, his buddy goes, oh, they're nice guys.
Yeah.
Fun show for you guys today. We wanted to have a good time talking about some current event stuff, some political stuff, and applying the biblical worldview to it. So we'll be right back after this short commercial break. We're going to talk more about the current political climate, what's going on, some candidates. We're going to talk about worldview stuff. Be right back with King Ginger, Luke the Bear, Jeff the Ninja, right here on Apologia Radio. Get more at apologiaradio.com. And welcome back. All right, guys. So more to do here. And just so you guys know, there is a bunch of additional content at apologiaradio.com. That's where you guys can get the extended episodes.
Did you know we had a TV show?
We have a TV show.
I know. It's amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, there are people that don't know we have a TV show.
Yeah, that's right. And this is it.
You're watching this is it. We're watching
it. So there's actually not just a TV show. There are the after shows. There's the Academy. There's the On the Couch and all the other content we do. Plus, if you haven't heard Apologia Radio yet, you need to get on that. There are over 150 episodes, I think, at this point at apologiaradio.com on all kinds of cultural issues, on the Bible, theology, and time stuff. Very exciting stuff. Some fantastic guests. And you go there to get it, apologiaradio.com. So let's finish this up. A couple things. Again, these are important things to talk about from a Christian perspective. It's not about endorsing particular candidates. It's about actually addressing the worldview issues that Christians should be able to engage with. So here's another part of the conversation with current candidate Donald Trump.
I just want to go back to the marijuana. A lot of bad information is coming. You know, a lot of people were all in favor of it, and now all of a sudden they're saying it's having tremendously damaging effects to the mind, to the brain, to everything. So it's a big problem.
The issue of drugs and alcohol is a serious one. That's where our church came mm-hmm. from. I was a pastor at a hospital, and it was a drug and alcohol rehab hospital. We take that very seriously. The problem of addiction is not a disease. It's a worship problem.
Right.
It's idolatry. It does have physical elements to it, elements of toxicity in the body. There is damage to the body and to the brain as
paranoia.
A result. paranoia. There's an issue of, yeah, exactly. There are definite, because God created us as spiritual beings and physical beings, and so there's aspects that affect our physical being. But the problem of addiction is a worship problem. It's a problem of idolatry, and their only freedom is through Christ and through redemption and God taking us from a place of slavery to sin to now a slave to Christ, where there is real freedom. But when we talk about the problem of drugs, the state doesn't solve that problem. They should be out of that discussion completely. There is an issue of justice involved there. When we talk about people who are in jail today, who were image bearers of God, caged like animals behind bars because they had a baggie of weed in their pocket. Now, I believe that it's idolatry when you are serving it and all the rest. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you eat too many donuts, you can find studies about the damage that has happened to your body because of the donuts. And
just saying.
And alcohol. You drink too much alcohol and there's damage to your brain and to your body and you can kill people and all kinds of things. So that's kind of a weird reason for the state to want to get involved in this way. So from a biblical perspective, the state's role is not to actually have a foot in this area. And so I'd like to see the candidate that actually approaches things from a biblical perspective and thinks differently. So
what about the rights? New York City, almost impossible to get a concealed carry permit. I happen to have one.
And I have one too.
Okay. It took a lot of death throats to get
it's
that.
Very hard.
Pretty much.
And yet, a lot of people out there have them and they don't have permits, okay?
They don't obey the laws.
It's a problem.
Should that be...
Well, first of all, I'm a huge Second Amendment person. Yeah. Something's very interesting that happened...
I'm huge. That's good because the nation that we're in now exists in the way that it does today because of Christians, the Presbyterian revolt, Baptist and Presbyterian pastors that were fighting against the crown.
That's right.
Because they broke covenant with God and with the people, the people in the colonies. And they had a biblical view, a world and life view, where they believed that people were allowed to defend themselves and their homes and land and country against foreign invaders and tyrants. And so thank God for those men, and thank God for people who support the Second Amendment.
Yep, they would sprinkle you with water and immerse you in gunfire.
All right. Okay. So next, let's look at, and this was kind of surprising. It's an interesting bit of news. That's awesome. It's an interesting bit of news. Sarah Palin, popular for her little moment in time where she went for the role of vice president of the United States. That's an interesting thing too, to talk about Christians, how we actually saw lots of Christians supported Sarah Palin as vice president.
Mm. I did.
Made a presidential run too.
Why did I not know this? Did she?
Yeah, she was running for president, right?
Did she run for president? I missed that. So that it's just an interesting discussion to have. But anyway, that's a whole other subject for another show.
Can I just say that? Well, I mean, because Hillary Clinton,
yes,
God brings judgment on nations that have women as leaders.
As
the Bible speaks to that,
country,
right?
Like, yeah.
That's how you know your nation is under judgment. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, God says, "My people, infants are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths." And so God actually is talking to his people about this is judgment on them, that youths, infants, are their oppressors and women rule over them. And so we have to ask the question, you know, how does the current political context of even leadership and government fit within the framework of what God says is how society is supposed to be ordered?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Sarah Palin, surprisingly though, because she professes faith in Jesus, came out recently with an endorsement for Donald Trump. And so here it is.
I would like to bring up, if I might, Governor Sarah Palin.
Tonight, Sarah Palin is back.
Are you ready to make America great again?
Shaking up the Republican race with just 13 days to go before the Iowa caucuses.
And are you ready to stump for Trump? You ready for a commander-in-chief who will let our warriors do their job and go kick ISIS? Not a politician. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. doggone right.
All right, so
that's really
really.
She sounds like discouraging. She sounds like she's fresh out of a Fargo script.
She does. She does.
Yeah, and she just sounds like a caricature of Minnesota.
Yeah, I you know that Saturday Night Live within the next 2 weeks is going to do
can't wait
a skit right on this moment, and it's going to be great. Tina Fey.
Everything she says is nonsensical.
Tina Fey is prepping now. Yeah. For that. So, all right, guys. So, quick episode today on Apologia TV. Man, that went by fast. We have so much more we'd like to talk about.
Good thing we have an after show.
And you guys can check out the after show at apologiaradio.com. That is Luke the Bear with his missionaware.com t-shirt, missionaware.com. And that is
Virgin.
And that shirt is smoking.
Missionaware.com. Marcus Pittman, King Ginger. I'm the Ninja. And we're thankful for all of our All Access partners that support this show. We'll catch you guys next time. All right, so in the TV program we just did, we touched on a couple cultural issues regarding candidates. And I think candidates. And, again, it's important to stress something. I think again, that the Christian church should not be about petty partisan political pandering. We should not be, we should not be again, putting signs outside of Christian churches vote. You know, Wilson says vote for Murphy, you know, those sorts of things that would be wrong. That's not what our role is. And, you know, again, the Bible also would create a specific...
What if he's a member of your church?
that might happen.
Well, can we, since we're on the subject, can we put those in front of our houses?
Christians.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're like, saying not in front of the church.
Yeah, no, the church itself should not be part of the political pandering process.
That made sense.
Yeah, that wouldn't be... And there's another element, too, that would relate to you and I. There's a line in scripture drawn between the specific realm and sphere of and role concerning government and the church. Those are two different governments. So, I mean, really, if you like the idea of separation of church and state, you need to thank a Calvinist, shake their hands, because that idea really is a biblical idea. But it's not separation of God and state, but church and state. Yeah, so there's different realms. Different spheres of sovereignty, and related to you and I, the Bible would pronounce very severe judgments upon somebody that was in our role of the sphere of the church, the spiritual organization of the church, if we tried to, at the same time, run for political office. Now, we would have to basically relinquish our role and rights as pastor elders to run for any sort of political office. So there's supposed to be a distinction between those.
Yes.
However, it seems, though, that Christians have bought into the lie spread by the current culture and the context that Christians really, the Christian church is not to speak in the area of politics because separation of church and state. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We have every responsibility to speak into this realm because these are all moral issues. Now, we ended that last segment talking
about... That's a separation of church and state, not theology and state.
That's right.
Right.
So... We ended the last segment, and we might have said something there that bothered people. When we just said it in passing, we talked about Isaiah 3. We talked about Isaiah 3, chapter 12 specifically, where it says, my people...
We ended the last show as a radical anti-feminist.
Yes. Yeah, that would make a lot of people angry.
Yeah.
And if you've been impacted by the thinking of our culture, even Christian culture, what we said might have bothered you. So the first thing I want to say is this... please understand that we see the Bible putting male and female together as one in Jesus, male and female created equally in the image of God, together in the image of God, he created them, plural, male and female. There is not a man as more valuable, having more dignity than the woman, or the woman more valuable, more dignity than the man. Nothing like that takes place in the biblical worldview. We are one in Christ Jesus, equally important, equal dignity, but different roles and functions.
Yes.
The man has a different role and function than the woman. The woman has a different role and function than the man. There are things that women can do that I cannot do.
Like what?
Like they do.
Like childbirth?
Like,
oh.
Well, like, for example, I'll give you an example.
Just something.
No, this is like giving birth, like creating babies and making babies. And but no, this is good. This is because we're going to actually play a clip here from Vodi Bakum in a second here. And I think we should address this with some solid biblical foundations. Didn't plan on doing this, but let's do it. So years ago when I was at the hospital, I was forced to participate in diversity training. The hospital used to be Christian. They sold themselves to the devil. They sold themselves to a secular organization that basically changed everything. It's no longer a Christian organization. And I was forced to do diversity training. I felt like I was Daniel in Babylon at this place. I just needed to be faithful in my role and just do it as long as I could until I got fired, essentially. So forced this diversity training upon me. I had to sit in these training sessions for hours at a time. And the person who was teaching this thing was a homosexual. He made sure that everybody knew it from the first minute. And so he was not just kind of homosexual. He was overtly, flamboyantly homosexual. And at a certain point, there was a Q&A. And he says, does anybody know the gender that people pick most when seeking counsel or therapy? Now, think about that for a second, right? So what do people pick for therapy and counseling?
Female.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. So everybody says female. 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 He goes, that's absolutely right. Statistics show that people more often pick females over males when they're looking for counseling and for therapy. He says this. He says, why do you think that is? And so everyone starts raising their hands and people are saying what?
Women are nurturing.
That's what everybody said.
All the right answers.
Everybody said women are sympathetic. Women are nurturing. Women are emotionally connected to people. And so everybody is saying the same answers. And so he says, that's right. That's exactly why everybody does it. He goes, but it's absolutely untrue. He goes, men and women are exactly the same. And women are no more nurturing than men are. And men can do exactly the same things, fulfill exactly the same roles as women. Right?
Talk about a science denier.
Right. So
probably believes in a flat earth.
This was the part where I could not keep my mouth shut. I go, raise my hand. He goes, yes, Reverend Jeff, yes, what do you want to say? And I said, isn't it a biological fact that women give birth to babies? And he goes, well, yes. I said, and women breastfeed babies and feed them from their own bodies? He goes, yes, that's right. I said, so isn't it true that biologically speaking, there are things women do that men cannot do? And doesn't that make them different? And he goes, well, that's a good point. So here's what I say, that the modern way of trying to blend male and female roles together to say they're exactly the same actually destroys the beauty of male and femaleness. So maleness is not such a gift anymore, and femaleness is not such a gift anymore because we're exactly the same. You're not special.
Right.
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 So I say the beauty of the biblical worldview is that we can actually say being a man has its certain rights and privileges and giftings that is very beautiful and should be celebrated. And being a woman has its own certain rights and privileges and giftings that ought to be celebrated and lifted up and heralded as, and that's a beautiful thing. So here's the thing. When the world gets their hands on something like male and femaleness, they destroy it. They make it ugly. They run it into the ground and they lower it. However, here's where we get to the tough part. Okay. This is the part where everyone goes, yay! What? But when you say women, according to God, are not supposed to take the role of ultimate authority in a nation to govern a nation. That's not the role of the woman. That's not the God-ordained role of the woman. People go, that's a microaggression.
You're starting to sound like they're Muslim now.
You could have gave me a trigger warning, Pastor Jeff, when I signed up for
Apologia. I think we should just put microaggression warnings at the bottom of
Before flashing, every warning, it's coming. But here's the thing. We can go to the text of God's word. We can show examples like Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, where God actually says it's an indictment on his people and a judgment on his people when women are governing them, because that's not the role of the woman. And we look, of course, and even in the church, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says it. You're either going to believe the Bible or you're not. When we talk about particular roles and functions, it says, 1 Timothy 2:12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Does that mean women can't teach? No. It's talking about the specific role in being an authority over a man, because that's how God designed us. It's how it works. Like, you know, here's the thing. A car is designed to do particular things. The wheels are in the place that they are for a reason. The wheel is here in the place for a reason. The seat is in this position for a reason. The gas pedal and the brake are next to each other for a very good reason. And the trunk's back there for a good reason. Here's the thing. You're supposed to sit in the front seat and drive it a particular way for a reason. That's how it was designed. If somebody said, hey, here's a beautiful Highline vehicle. It's a BMW. I want you to drive it to California for me. I got a job for you. Drive it to California. And they said, I don't want you to get a scratch on it. Take good care of it. I don't want anything to happen to my car. And then they opened the trunk and they said, get in and drive. You'd be like, at some point I'm going to have a problem and I'm going to wreck this car. Well, why is that? Because that's not how it's designed to operate. And when you go against God's ordained order of human relationships and you say, oh, we'll just have it our own way and we'll do it this way, then you're driving that car from the trunk and eventually you're going to run into a wall. And that needs to be understood by us. But you might say, all right, Jeff, I kind of with you, but I need a little more help. Well, let me give you the help of Pastor Balcom. If you don't believe it coming from my mouth, perhaps you'll believe it coming from his. This is Vody Balcom on, I think, CNN. This was when Sarah Palin was trying to run for vice president. And I love this. You need to see it. Here we go.
Margaret, let's start with you. I want you both actually to touch on this quickly. Why does her faith matter?
Her faith matters because it says a lot about who she is as a person and her outlooks on life and the policies that will come to play in our nation. Reverend Balcom?
I agree completely. Political ideology is really an outgrowth of our religious beliefs. You can't separate what a person believes from how a person will govern. So I think it's incredibly important that we know where people stand on religious issues.
So, Margaret, why do you think she's winning over these evangelicals that have been so skeptical of McCain?
I think on one hand, she's known for her conservative values, and that's translated in her leadership and her time in Alaska. But I think also for younger evangelicals, there is a hunger to see a more exciting ticket. There was kind of a ho-hum factor for McCain, but when Palin came on board, she added the vavoom that was so needed in order to garner the attention and the excitement for young evangelicals.
And here's what's interesting, Reverend Balcom, she's winning over church members, church leaders that don't even allow women to preach at the pulpit, yet she could be leading the country. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. The bottom line on that is people look at this ticket and their fear is that we will have Barack Obama as our president, that we will be moved toward a socialist agenda, that we would have the most radically pro-abortion candidate ever to run for president to serve in that office. And that is an untenable position for evangelicals. And so they look at this and they're trying to decide this based on what's best for the nation in the here and now, and oftentimes overlooking some of those other issues.
Do you think that that's something that, are you saying that should be, that shouldn't be overlooked? I mean, do you think that women in evangelical circles where women are not allowed to preach, let's say Palin and McCain do win, and here you have this woman that could possibly be leading the free world, and yet there's evangelicals voting for her that don't even believe that, that a woman should preach at the pulpit. Could this change the face of how evangelicals believe in the woman's role?
I don't think it'll change the way evangelicals believe about women's roles. I think it has sparked a discussion. And quite frankly, feminism has gained a foothold in many evangelical churches.
Do you think that's a good thing?
No, I don't. Not at all.
Why not?
Well, because we're about the gospel. The culture doesn't dictate truth. The gospel dictates truth. My job is not to be a political pundit or political activist. My job is to be a pastor and proclaim the truth of the gospel as clearly as I possibly can.
Well, wait a minute. What about the Old Testament and the prophet Deborah? I mean, she was a political leader. She was a wife. She was a mother. She was one of the biggest forces in the book of Judges. So that's the gospel right there.
She certainly was. And the fact that something happened doesn't mean that it's normative for the church. In Isaiah chapter 3, for example, one of the signs that a culture is under judgment is that women are in leadership in their nations. So Deborah was actually a sign that things were very bad in Israel, not a norm for the church.
Dang.
Wow.
That exegesis, though.
Wow.
She tried to pull a fast one on Vody and
not on Vody.
Didn't go so
well. Deborah had to step up because her husband wouldn't, right?
Mm.
Was it her husband?
We'd have to look and see the context of that. Okay. What was powerful to me about this particular conversation was that this conversation is old. This happened, obviously, he was talking about the fear evangelicals had of Barack Obama, the most pro-abortion candidate in the history of America, becoming president, and he did, and that people were basically willing to let go of their commitments just to not have Barack Obama become president. That's what he's talking about.
Mm.
But he said this during a time where she was actually running for political office, so that was a risky thing to do. I think it showed a lot of courage, because this probably made a lot of people mad.
Yeah, I think so. And it's still relevant today because we have Hillary Clinton running for president.
Hillary Clinton is running, right, running for president.
Which probably isn't a concern for most evangelicals. Like, they're not going to vote for,
right,
Clinton,
because,
hopefully.
Because of the beliefs,
right,
that she upholds and she fights for.
Yeah. So if Hillary Clinton was in a man's body, it would still be a judgment on our nation.
But yeah,
if
she was elected. Yeah, because of the political beliefs.
Right, exactly. So
there's a good example. More on that, go check out Vody Baucham on CNN. That was where that clip was from. But let's do some more. Let's talk about some more stuff that's happened in the last week or so. This is interesting. Donald Trump quotes 2 Corinthians at Liberty University.
Corinthians.
2 Corinthians, Liberty University.
The whole group, and I think we can do really something special. And we're going to protect Christianity. And I can say that. I don't have to be politically correct. We're going to protect it. You know? And I asked Jerry and I asked some of the folks, because I hear this is a major theme right here, but 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17, that's the whole ballgame. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here there is liberty come.
So you can hear everyone laughing when he said it.
Everyone's laughing at him.
Okay, to be fair, though, I have to say this. To be fair to Mr. Trump, in England, especially in the scholarly field, when you refer to any book that is in Numbers 1, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, anything like that, you have them referring to it as 1 Corinthians,
right,
and 2 Corinthians.
They also say Isaiah. So.
Yeah, however, I don't think that Trump has a lot of experience in the
English academics,
academic scholarly world. I'm not so sure that's where he got that from.
He'll come out and say he does, though.
Yeah, it was actually correct. That's how the British say it. So that was an interesting thing. And having Trump at Liberty was an interesting thing. People might ask a lot of questions about that. But here is Jerry Falwell Jr. Speaking about having Trump at Liberty.
It wasn't quite an endorsement, but many people took it as almost one when you said, you know, you introduced him as one of the greatest visionaries of our time and you've remained in close contact with him. Does your position prevent you from endorsing? That kind of sounded like an endorsement.
Well, Liberty University is a non-profit 501c3 university, so of course Liberty cannot endorse candidates, and we invite all the candidates to come speak. But I got to know Donald Trump.
And that is true. He had Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders!
He did, yeah.
Speak at Liberty.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I don't have an issue with having a bunch of different candidates come and speak at a university.
No, that's no problem. No problem at all. I got no problem with it at all.
I would say there might be an issue because the convocation center, the convocation that they speak at, is a worship service.
Is it?
So that's kind of like where everybody gets, we have Glenn Beck there, and then there were some people that didn't go to Glenn Beck because they didn't want to worship, you know. And
you went to Liberty.
I went there for 2 years, right? Yeah. So you have
that
to go.
That explains a lot.
And there were students that did not go when Glenn Beck came because they didn't want to worship with a Mormon, and they were fined for not going.
Fined what?
Really? If you don't go to the, you have to go to convocation. Like, it's a requirement, and
right.
It's part of your, like, education there. It's like a big thing. Wow. And so if you don't go, they give you demerits or fines. And so there were people that was like, well, I'm not going to worship with Glenn Beck when they sing, because they do worship service before the speaker comes.
Okay.
And so that's where, like, it gets kind of weird at Liberty.
Right.
But like I said, like, Donald Trump coming, you know, he's pandering. That's kind of an issue.
I think. Yeah. Well, and the struggle is, ultimately, we need to look at someone's theology, what they say about God, and their fruits.
Right.
Okay? Theology and fruits. And if you have somebody that says, you know, the Bible's my favorite book, but can't quote a single verse that they love of the Bible, and they say, well, that could, because it's very personal to me, you start saying, I don't know, that's kind of interesting. and then you have somebody quoting the Bible in a strange way, and somebody that their views are switching back and forth constantly. As a Christian, you have to say, you know, is that consistent? And again, this isn't about endorsing any particular candidate, but as Christians, we do have a responsibility to look for consistency
right.
in somebody that's going to rule a nation. And I do believe that it's important for us as Christians to elect Christian governors.
Right.
That's right.
We want to have people who govern our nation in submission to Jesus Christ. And if you say, really? Is that really something we should look for?
Well, he's going to talk about that.
That's what right. I'm getting to.
Okay.
In Psalm chapter 2, it says, the Father says to the Son, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. And then the Father speaks directly to the kings of the earth and he says, obey the Son or you'll perish when his wrath is kindled. So the Father does expect the kings of the earth to submit to the Son or he'll judge them.
Right.
And Jesus said that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And the Bible says that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, which means that we should pray for and hope for leaders who are in submission to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's an important prerequisite for running for office. Here we go. Here's Jerry Falwell speaking on that particular issue.
Trump, after he spoke here in 2012, and I learned so much about him that the public never hears, and I wanted to share that with our audience. Right after he visited here last time, I called him about a large Christian ministry in another state that needed some help. I learned within a day or two he had donated $100,000 of his own money. He learned about Clyde Frazier Jr., who ran the Harlem Hoops tournament in the inner city and was killed in the 911 attacks, and he searched down the family, and he donated the money to keep that tournament going. Example after example like that of just generosity that never made it into the public's eye. He got his limousine broke down one time. A couple stopped and helped him. He paid off their mortgage a few days later. These are all things that you never hear about Donald Trump because he comes across as sort of a tough businessman. And it just reminded me so much of my father because my father would say, make
real fast. Would you personally be upset if somebody was going out talking about all the things that you did? I'd be like, dude, why you want to make me lose my reward?
Yeah, right, you're right.
Yeah, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing.
Stop
talking about what I did.
Mm. Trump did tell him the things he did.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
I'm wondering, how much money do you think Trump gave to Liberty? I'm wondering. I'm curious.
Oh,
it's
man.
Just a question I have.
I bet it's more than $100,000.
It's just a question. I don't want to be. I don't want to not be gracious, but it's a question I have.
It sounded overly protective.
Yeah.
You know, so
Trump doesn't want you to know because he'd be giving up his rewards.
Yeah, that's fair.
Politically incorrect statements all those years, and in real life and in his personal relationships with people, he gave away so many scholarships to students at Liberty. He almost bankrupted the school here, and he always was just giving away. He was always.
Hey, scholarship. And I know that's true. Here's one thing people didn't know about your dad. The limousine story is interesting. So a couple stopped to help him, and he paid off their mortgage. That's pretty impressive. And people would say, okay, well, he has the money to do it. But there are a lot of wealthy people that don't do things like that. but I knew something about your dad.
No, I was going to tell you, on 60 Minutes, Trump was watching a report about a Maytag plant that moved out of Iowa into Mexico, and the three companies in that report, he actually searched them out. They were about to go out of business because Maytag had left, and he found ways to buy products from those companies through his hotels to keep them in business. He gave the money to the local Domino's pizza restaurant so they could buy cheese and bread and keep their business in business. And those are just things I thought the world needed to know about Donald Trump, because the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And he may not be a theological expert, and he might say 2 Corinthians instead of 2 Corinthians, but when you look at the fruits of his life and all the people he's provided jobs, I think that's the true test of somebody's Christianity, not whether or not they use the right theological terms.
Stop. Stop. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Am I the only one that thinks that was really, really weird?
Yeah.
Like, that is weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
He's just talking, oh, and Donald Trump does this thing, and Donald Trump does this thing, and Donald Trump's so nice. He's such a great guy. That is weird.
Well, it's weird, Marcus, because, as you know, in the second letter of John, and that would be to John, I suppose.
To John.
It says, verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The Apostle John was saying that at the early beginnings of Gnosticism, and these were people who basically said that Jesus came, but he did not come in the flesh. And he says that if you're off on even that single point and you say that God didn't come in the flesh, he says, you don't have God. So apparently theology does count for something.
It sure does.
It does. Yeah. And so it's not simply fruits. That's not what Jesus is saying. That's all there is. Look if they're good. I mean, there's lots of false prophets
even like,
that bear
look
what looks like fruits.
Yeah, there's the good works. And then there's, what about the bad works that Donald Trump has done? Like his crony capitalism, his bribing, all the other things.
He confessed to his bribery. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All this other, the adultery and multiple marriages he's had. We can't look at those fruits.
Yeah.
Only look at the good fruits.
Yeah.
And it just seemed really like Falwell was pandering.
I was just going to say, Obama's quoted scripture quite a bit too.
Yeah. That's
sure
right. Yeah.
I know he's done a lot of great things too. You know?
He didn't even say 2 Corinthians.
Charities.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so, all kinds of good things.
Again, why have these discussions? Well, we have these discussions because we're in the middle of an election year, and these are important conversations to have. Christians ought to be engaging in conversation with one another about the people that are running for political office. We should be looking at these sorts of things, asking deeper theological questions, and saying, well, does it matter that this person doesn't truly confess Jesus as Lord? You know, we should be asking questions about, is what they're saying consistent with a biblical worldview? These are all things Christians ought to talk about. Because here's the thing. The next person who is elected as president over our nation is not the Messiah. We're not looking for a Messiah. We've already got one. He occupies that throne for good.
I got Mashiach now.
We got Mashiach now. But the next person who occupies that political office is going to be, because of the nature of our system now, the person who's making pretty major decisions regarding abortion, regarding the family, regarding private property, regarding the theft of private property, regarding justice in our nation. Those sorts of things are all in the hands, because of the way our system operates today, not as it was set up. It's all in the hands of the person who runs this nation. So we ought to have these discussions as Christians. And again, you don't have to even say in these discussions that it's an endorsement for a particular candidate. You do need to say, what are they saying? What do they believe? Is that consistent with the biblical worldview? And we ought to vote as such,
right,
as Christians, consistent with the biblical worldview.
Right.
And that's important for us. So
we gotta continue playing this clip.
Okay, more of this?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. He was going to say it. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
You told me on my radio show a while back, and you mentioned this today. And by the way, there's pictures of convocation. I've had the honor to speak there, and that is an experience like no other. It's amazing. But you see a lot of your dad and Donald
he's
Trump.
Roman Catholic.
That I think surprised a lot of people. Explain.
Well, my father was criticized for supporting Ronald Reagan over Jimmy Carter because Ronald Reagan was a Hollywood actor who had been divorced and remarried. Jimmy Carter was a Sunday school teacher. And my father said, he said proudly that Jesus said, render unto Caesar, and that means be good citizens, be voting citizens. And he said, when I go in the voting booth, I'm not electing a Sunday school teacher or a theologian or somebody who agrees with my theological views. I'm voting for the person who is most qualified to be the president of the United States. And the qualities that are required to be the president are not all the way, always the same ones that make a good Sunday school teacher. Prime example of that is Jimmy Carter. He was a great Sunday school teacher, but look what he did to our country as president.
All right. Okay. I have a real comfort level problem with that.
A little microaggression there? A little bit of a problem, I do.
Because I do not believe that it is consistent with our commitments as Christians. There is no neutrality.
Right.
No neutrality. And this does speak loudly to whether or not you believe the kingdom of God is actually a present reality.
Mm.
Because if you believe that Jesus has brought the messianic kingdom on time and as planned, then that means that he's ruling and reigning now, and he requires of men everywhere to what? Repent.
Right.
He commands men everywhere to repent, and that includes government officials.
Yep.
And that means that I believe the government officials should be in submission to Jesus Christ.
Mm, that's right.
That's what the Bible says.
Right.
And so I don't agree with Falwell here when he says, like, well, my dad didn't believe that I'm not voting for a theologian and, he didn't have to be Christian. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, the Bible says in Deuteronomy to choose from among you men who fear the Lord. Like, that's what it says.
Yeah.
And so it's fear the Lord actually says fear the Lord. Doesn't take bribes, which assumes that the person who gives bribes right. like Trump
yeah.
is bad. The bribe is bad.
Right.
That's so giving or receiving. So is trusted and is honorable.
Like yes.
Those are the requirements for a leader.
Right.
But fear of the Lord is part of it.
A requirement.
Which is why Romney was not a good choice because he was a Mormon who doesn't hold a Trinitarian view of God.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's really important. And so just to say, well, look at, the good things he does or he doesn't have to be, an elder in a church, to be a pastor, to be a leader.
Right.
He does need to meet the qualifications of a godly leader, which elder is
so
similar. Yeah.
Was it a good thing early on in our nation's history in the colonies that there was a requirement that in order to run for political office, you had to be a baptized Trinitarian Christian. Was that a good thing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Is that something we would actually want to see happening today?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because there is no neutrality. And it's not a question of whether you will impose a morality in a nation, but which morality you'll impose.
Right.
It's not a question of whether you have a God over your system, but which God. And if Jesus is truly Lord today and King of Kings today, then it matters who's actually in a position of authority, occupies a space of authority in a nation. Now, there might actually be examples, of course, where you're in a nation that has not been discipled yet, and you just don't have the possibility at that moment to have a person who's a believer in the space of authority in the political office. But here's the point. We need to get there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in the Great Commission, what? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Right.
He says, go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations.
Right.
And so the nation is to be discipled. That happens through the proclamation of the gospel. And that's why we're in a unique place as Christians in America, because this nation was really started by Christians. The Puritans came over. They were trying to bring the kingdom of God over here and establish us ultimately a Christian nation under the rule of Jesus. The most popular study Bible in the colonies was the Geneva Study Bible. It was what gave rise to a lot of thought in America. Our first Supreme Court justice actually pointed to the Bible and to the biblical code in many instances when they did the legal code in America. So we're in a unique situation because watch this. America is no longer a Christian nation. Cannot be called a Christian nation.
Definitely not.
Covenant with Jesus Christ. No longer we broke covenant with Jesus Christ. However, it doesn't mean we're not in a place where things can't be turned around.
Right.
It can be turned around through the proclamation of the gospel. It could be turned around through Christians thinking and acting consistently and electing officials that serve and love Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So one more thing.
Sure, why not?
Just interesting. We'd like to give you guys updates on news and reports and fun things going on. Interesting things going on anyways. Before I do that, I want to show you this because not everyone necessarily will go to the YouTube channel and see this. Before we go to the last thing for today, interesting thing happened at a stump. Is that what you call a stump event? I forget what it's called. But we went to Kauai to see about planning a church on the island of Kauai.
Yes.
And Marcus Pittman put together a phenomenal little teaser for the mini documentary that we're doing on our church plant in Kauai. We're going to bring the gospel to that island, and we just want you to see it. Here it is.
We thank you and enjoy Lahui. Hope to see you again.
Getting to Kauai is a pretty powerful one. I was coming to this island because some members of Apologia Church were renewing their wedding vows. And so they asked us to come to renew their vow, sort of a top secret, covert mission, not letting his wife know. And Kauai wasn't even on my map, not even in my thoughts. And after being on the island for just a limited time, just a couple of days, we immediately began to see the spiritual climate of the island. The island is in many ways dominated by the cults from north to south. You have the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, you have Roman Catholicism, you have Mormonism, you have the New Age, you have woo-woo kind of spiritual cults, Buddhism, you have a Shinto temple. It's just strange.
Pretty cool, and
it's all right.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty awesome.
So I do want to say to those of you guys that are watching this right now, you're watching the after show, which means you're watching the after show because you are part of our all access partnership, and so you give towards this work, the work of our church, and so you've heard me say it many times, but I'm going to keep saying it. All this is possible because of God's grace in giving you to us. And so we take very seriously your participation, and we're grateful. We mean that. And so what you just saw happen because of your giving.
Yeah.
The show you're watching right now happened because you give. What you just saw happened because you give. And so thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much. And
mahalo.
Mahalo. Mahalo means thank you. So you got to send it out. That's the rule. We learned that in Hawaii.
That's how they do it, yeah.
So we're planning a church, and what's unique about Apologia Church planning a church in Kauai is that we are looking to bring the gospel to the island in a discipleship kind of way, which means we want to address every area of society. Now, here's the thing. Obviously, we're doing that here in Arizona, but there are real attainable goals on an island that's isolated by itself with a tightly knit community. There are attainable goals that can be done there. We believe within a generation we can have a dramatic impact on an island in every area, whether it be the family, whether it be in individuals, whether it be in government, whether it be in the church, whatever it is, business. We believe that God's word addresses all those things, and we want to see Christ's peace just invade that island and the world looking in after a generation saying, wow, look what God did there. And we're excited about it. We're humbled and we're excited.
Yes.
And actually, believe it or not, your giving is making even that possible. So thank you. So anything you want to say about that?
No, I just think it was the most beautiful place I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
And it was awesome to be able to film stuff that most videographers would like cut off their arm.
Right.
To be able to go film.
You just played all week, man.
I did, man. Yeah. It was just all. Y'all are like, I'm going to go swimming. I'm like, man, I'm going to go fly drones.
Yeah. When we took a break, yeah, he would just be flying the drone.
Marcus was like, if I wasn't a Christian, that drone would be my God.
Yeah. He gets beautiful shots.
Some worship issues. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I want to say this. We've talked about it a lot. People might look at that video and they go, well, I'll tell you what I saw yesterday. I deleted the comment because it was offensive, and I think it was the wrong direction.
Do tell.
I'll tell you. Somebody said under the video.
I love deleted Facebook comment stories.
Somebody said under the video, I hope that the people who participated in this mission, every single one of them, go on a mission to Detroit and are as excited about Detroit as they are Kauai. So... it was delete ban.
Wow.
First and foremost. Because here's what needs to be understood. What you saw is a beautiful island. It's gorgeous. Yes. But when you get there, you realize completely under the boot of the cults.
Was that a statement saying that we're racist? Or
no, I just think it was like, oh, it's so beautiful. I want to see you get excited about Detroit. Here's the thing.
Well, there's poor places on Kauai that's probably poorer than Detroit.
Very much so. They don't have, you saw it. You saw it.
Yeah, they don't have internet in Kauai. They don't have internet.
Yes.
They're setting up fruit stand shops to make a living.
Yeah.
And we
the night we were leaving, we met a man who has lived in Kauai all of his life, and he sleeps on the beach because he says he can't afford to live there.
Which I believe.
Yeah, and it's true. It's super expensive to live there. It comes with its own struggles and own trials. Just because it is paradise doesn't mean that everyone who lives there is going to paradise. They need Jesus and they need the gospel, which I think Pastor Luke and I have talked about this a bunch, which is why there aren't a lot of solid Reformed churches in Kauai. It is really hard to set up a church there because it's so dang expensive.
Yeah.
And the truth is that island is dominated by the cults.
Yeah.
So they need the gospel. And guess what? I'm happy God's sending us.
Me too.
Praise God.
Me three.
Yes. So here's something interesting. This was last thing we'll talk about today was presidential candidate Marco Rubio, which I know almost nothing about.
I actually found some information.
Did you?
Yes. He's Roman Catholic, but attends a Southern Baptist church.
Oh, okay. So interesting.
Not sure why that pastor hasn't said something to him.
Yeah. But interesting.
Yeah.
So he's Marco Rubio.
Very passionately Roman Catholic.
Okay. So now I know.
Which is why he's about to preach like a Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
That's what's about
after. We want to actually work on being a better news source for you guys. So if you don't get to watch a lot of the news, you're not on the internet a lot, we can kind of fill you in on what current events and what some of these guys are saying. This was just an interesting encounter with Marco Rubio and a guy who is a self-professed atheist at one of his recent campaigning events.
Atheist voter. Mm-hmm. I represent millions of atheists and non-theists around the country, one of the fastest growing voter blocks. And you said earlier that you want to stand up for religious freedom and all of that. My question is, for atheist voters that are looking for somebody that will uphold their rights as Americans and not pander to a certain religious group. I just noticed your recent ad. It mentioned nothing about policy. It mentioned nothing about ideas. And it simply talked about wanting us to follow faith and find God and go to heaven and things like that, which is fine for those people that align with you. My question is, how do you plan on upholding our rights and focusing on non-theists? Because there's talks in our community about you running as pastor-in-chief instead of commander-in-chief. So I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, first of all, as I said during my speech, you have a right to believe whatever you want. You have a right to believe in nothing at all. You most certainly have that right. By the way, I'm a Christian. I can't force you to be a Christian. Christianity is a free gift. Mm-hmm. We Christians believe that salvation is a free gift that has to be willfully accepted. I can't force it on you. So you have a right to believe whatever you want, and I congratulate you on believing whatever you want.
Right.
I'm going to share my faith, especially when I'm asked, because my faith influences who I am in every aspect of my life. First of all, I believe you can't really understand America unless you don't understand. If you don't believe that Judeo-Christian values influenced America, you don't know history. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general. This nation was founded on the principle that our rights come from our Creator. If there's no Creator, then where did your rights come from? And so that's why it's important for us to understand that. And we're going to protect the rights of Americans to continue to believe that. I'm also going to...
Now, that was all true. That was all true. Right?
I was just going to say, what's going on over there? I was just going to say, we went to the Reason rally.
Yes.
I don't think there's millions of atheists in the country, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But he is correct there. Again, I don't know really anything besides what you just said about Marco Rubio, but that is true in terms of the history of our nation. It was founded upon the biblical worldview, and that is an inescapable fact.
Inalienable right.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no way to escape it.
Creator,
now, I do believe things got eroded over time, and at the formation of our Constitution and everything else, there were some failures, not naming Jesus Christ as the king over our nation, not naming Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible and the Constitution was a dramatic failure of our nation. That would have safeguarded a lot of things, put a rail around a lot of things in our nation. That was a major failure, but that's good stuff. Now watch this. Look at the difference between what Falwell Jr. said. Falwell Jr. said about his father not really caring about the person's theological beliefs who were in office, and what this gentleman's saying here, how what he believes affects every area of his life.
The atheist is saying that.
No, the Rubio said that.
Well, the atheist is worried.
He's worried about it.
He's worried that his
faith affects others. And Rubio did say, and this is interesting, he did say that, yes, my faith will affect, it affects every aspect of my life.
Right.
Now, watch this. That is undeniable and inescapable. What you believe affects how you live.
Mm.
It is simply a lie to say, well, my faith doesn't affect my political office. That's ridiculous. Wilson had an interesting way to talk about this. He said, I'm waiting for the person who gets the political leader who gets caught in a red Corvette with a couple of prostitutes with $600,000 of cash and cocaine in his trunk. And he goes before the news cameras the day after he's caught, and it was all cash he stole from like the
state.
We're
talking about Toronto's mayor?
Yeah, it's funny. That's hilarious. Chris Farley, who runs Canada. He says, I'm waiting for the political leader who gets caught with all that money from the state and all the stuff that happened there to go before the people and say, I told you that my personal faith commitments would not affect my political office. And he goes, and I want to be consistent with that position. You know, people would say, I don't think so, because there is no separation between your religious faith, your personal beliefs and morality, and your running for office and actually performing those duties. So at least that.
And if you can say that, if you can say, well, I'm a Christian, but I won't let my Christianity affect my governing, then I would say that Christ is not Lord over your governing.
Yes.
And so
absolutely.
You're probably not a Christian.
So that is helpful to see a person running for political office saying these sorts of things. That's kind of encouraging. Right. I like the consistency.
We're also going to have a country where no one is forced to violate their conscience, which means no one's going to force you to believe in God, but no one's going to force me to stop talking about God. I'm not going to force you to pray. I'm not going to force you to go to church. I'm not going to force you to aspire or to espouse beliefs that you don't have. But no one's going to take away my right and your right to live out the teachings of your faith. No one. And I want to be very clear about something. Not only am I a Christian, and not only am I influenced by my faith, but it is the single greatest influence in my life. And from that, I'll never hide. And I'll tell you why. Because I know that if I'm lucky, I get to live to be 85 or 90, depending on what life expectancy becomes with all this new medicine. But I'm more interested in eternity and the ability to live forever with my Creator that you don't believe in, but I do. And that's what I aspire to more than anything else. One of the most, that's why I believe the most important job I have is the job of a father and a husband. More important even than the presidency. Because I only have a handful of years to teach and instruct my children with the right values, not just to allow them to succeed in life, but more importantly, to also achieve, to be able to accept the gift of eternity. I believe that God, our Creator, became a man. And He came down to earth and lived among us. Suffered like a man would. Emotions, physical suffering, emotional suffering, pain, illness, sickness, sadness. And then He died. And He died to remove sins that we couldn't remove up to that point.
They could only be covered, but they couldn't be removed. And as a result, I now have the free gift of the opportunity to live forever with my Creator. And I believe that passionately, and it influences every aspect of my life. I respect very much your willingness to stand up and ask that question, because I know you're in a small minority here of people that share that view that you have, but you have a right to it. That's why it makes it such a great country. I would say this, though. You shouldn't be worried about my faith influencing me. In fact, I think you should hope my faith influences me. Here's why. You know what my faith teaches me? My faith teaches me that I have an obligation to care for the less fortunate. My faith teaches me that I have an obligation to love my neighbor. My faith teaches me that I have an obligation for those who are hungry to help try to feed them, for those who are naked to help clothe them. My faith teaches me I need to minister to those in prison. My faith teaches me that if I want to serve Jesus, I have to serve each other. And I think you should hope that that influences me. I know it's made this a greater country.
So that was, it was interesting.
Yeah, was there a little infused righteousness?
I was trying to figure out. I'd like to ask him some questions.
Up to that moment on the cross.
Yeah, yeah, everything was covered, but not its own. Yeah, I'd like to ask him what he means by that.
He's definitely Baffleck.
Yeah, that's awesome. But
a little Baffleck.
Again, not an endorsement for anybody. Just really examining the statements and what they're saying in their political speeches. But I do like hearing somebody say and being willing to say it in front of a public audience that you should hope that my faith affects my political office, right? And he's talking to an atheist, right? Because here's the thing. I don't want an atheist's atheism affecting their political office. Oh, God, no. Help us, please. Because if you believe that we evolved from the scum, the slime, from fish to philosophers, I don't want you bringing that that belief into your political office, because I know how that affects how you see me and my children and society around me. I like the idea of a person running for political office and actually holding to that office. I like the idea of that person saying, I'm under God's authority. I have to submit to Him. I see value and worth in every human being. I can't steal from them because God commands me not to steal. I can't kill them because God commands me not to murder. And God calls me to care for the poor, the sick, the widow, the orphan. I like that.
Man, politics would be so much different now if we demanded that our leaders faith as part of their practice.
Right.
Yeah, it would be so much different.
Just be
all
consistent.
The problems we wouldn't have anymore. So.
That's right. All right, guys. So that was another episode of Apologia TV and After Show.
Yeah.
And want to thank you guys, every one of you guys, for participating with us. We have an announcement to make. We have the recipient of our gift giveaway was just announced today. If you missed it, it is Robert Crane.
Yes.
Fraser Crane's brother.
Robert Crane from Washington. Marcus is just texting him back and forth. He couldn't believe he won. He was like, what?
Oh, cool, man.
He's like, what? I got a gift. I got it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I love the show.
Yeah.
Or I love your ministry. So we do plan on this year doing more giveaways just to bless our listeners. We want to gift you with stuff. And we're big on grace and gifts because God did it with us. So, again, thank you guys, everybody. If you haven't seen it yet, go over to YouTube right now. Check out Apologia Studios. Look at one of our last videos we uploaded. We uploaded our first Apologia Church on the Street episode, where you get to actually watch and listen in on a conversation I had with a Mormon couple. And we have more of those, I think, coming. And we're going to be hopefully doing a lot more of those for you guys this year. Every single one of those episodes and all that content is because of your goodness to us and supporting us. So that's King Ginger.
Have a great day.
Luke the Bear. That's how they do it in Kauai. Hang loose.
Did you see our secret aloha?
No.
It's like, it goes like this.
All right, thanks all. Of course, to Steady Randy in the back. Thank you, Steady Randy, for operating the cameras today. And of course, Carmen,
nice job.
King Ginger's right-hand man, and he's doing a wonderful job. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Please pray for our ministry, and keep fighting, brothers and sisters. We'll catch you next time.